Welcome to Singer Liwek's podcast series, brought to you by the professionals of Singer Liwek from various areas of expertise. Our podcast series touch upon different subjects related to growth, strategy, tax advisory services, and technical and regulatory matters. Hi, Janine, how are you?
Good, how are you, Amina?
Good, excellent. Very nice day today in San Jose.
Yeah, it is.
Well, thank you for joining Singer Liwek's podcast on international taxation strategies. It's a pleasure to welcome you today, and thank you for joining us. And we look forward to your expertise and your insights today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Chenyin Fan, and I'm a tax director at the Silicon Valley office. I've been working with various types of clients for over 15 years now. And one of my focus areas is international tax. I really enjoy working in this area and help my clients with various international tax issues.
Excellent. So you work with all types of entities, individuals, corporations.
Yes, typically high net worth individuals and taxpayers with an international background, as well as businesses, will have international tax issues. So those are the main clients we have in an international tax area.
Excellent. And I know for the size of a firm of Singer Liwek, I'm very impressed with the breadth and depth of our international practice. And so we'll be doing a series of podcasting on our international practice. And I'm very excited to have you today because one of the big issues, I think, and one of the many unanswered questions that a lot of individuals face specifically is coming to the U.S., but when they get to the U.S. is what happens next if they decide to work here. So our topic today will focus on non-resident first-year taxation in the U.S. Can you please walk me a little bit through who does this tax law apply to?
Yes, everybody coming to the U.S., they need to determine whether or not they are subject to U.S. taxation for the year. Especially the first year, they need to make that determination under tax law. The first determination we need to make is the filing status. Are you a resident or non-resident?
Explain that to me a little bit because I'm not exactly sure. If I came here as a visitor, now I decided to stay, is that how it works?
Yeah, very good question. So many people thought they're just visiting the U.S. and they're not subject to U.S. taxation at all. But the resident and non-resident we're talking about and we're going to focus on today is, are you a resident or non-resident for tax purposes? So you don't get confused with your visa and your status for tax purposes. So maybe on your visa, either B1 or B2, it says visitor. But it's possible you are a tax resident for tax purposes.
So how is that determination made when you enter the country?
Yes, so there are a few rules related to this. So you are a resident alien for tax purposes if you meet either the green card test or the substantial presence test for the year. Under the green card test, if you are a green card holder at any time during the year, you are a resident alien. Under the substantial presence test, we look at the number of days you spent in the U.S. As a general rule, if an alien is physically present in the U.S. for 183 days or more in the calendar year, and then that person is a resident alien for the year for tax purposes. Now, if you spend less than 183 days in a year, we still need to apply the look-back test for a three-year period before concluding you are actually not a resident alien for tax purposes. So here's how the test applies. If you stayed at least 31 days in the U.S. during a year, then we add up the days you spent in the previous 2 years. So this is how the formula works. We add the number of actual days you stayed in the current year, 1/3 of the days stayed in the immediately preceding year, and 1/6 of the days stayed in the second preceding year. So if the total is 183 or more, then you do meet the substantial presence test, and the three-year look-back rule puts the maximum number of the days a non-resident alien can stay in the U.S. to 122 each year over a 3-year period. So you may come in as a visitor, but if you stayed with your, for example, with your family members and you spent more than 183 days, which is possible because the visa is going to give you that long of period, accidentally you're a taxpayer or as a resident alien for that year.
Let me go back on this really quick to make sure that we understand and that our listeners are clear on this. So you're saying that, let's say I came on a visa for 6 months, right? And I decide to stay for that amount of time. I legally have to pay taxes.
Yes. If you meet that test, you stayed over 183 days, your worldwide income is subject to U.S. taxation.
And what if I didn't work anywhere?
If you don't have any income, then yeah, you don't need to pay tax to the
okay.
U.S.
So this will only apply to me if I somehow generated income.
That depends. Although you don't have income, it is still possible that you need to file a tax return to either make some elections or to make some important disclosures.
So it's more complicated than being just a visitor.
Yes.
So then, what advice do you give to someone that has extended their visit or that has used their entire time? Because some visas will grant a year.
Yes.
So some are 6 months, depending on what time frame you were granted, right, to visit the U.S. So let's say you were granted a whole year and you decide to stay, then legally, I would have to file a tax return depending on my situation.
That's right.
But how do I know when to take that first step? What would be the first test for me to tell me that I have to call an expert, someone like you, to help me with my tax return?
We previously discussed the two tests. So the first thing you are going to look at is whether or not you have a green card. If you have a green card, then yes, you are subject to taxation. And the second test is number of days you stayed here. Mm-hmm. If you stayed over 183 days, you definitely need to call one of the tax advisors to see if you are subject to tax filing. And even if you do not meet the substantial presence test or the green card test, it's still possible that you still need to file a tax return, but you will be taxed as a non-resident alien.
Got it. Sounds a little complicated.
Yes, the first year taxation for a immigrant or even a visitor who is going to be subject to taxation is the most complicated. And after that, it will be simpler.
So it's that one first time that sounds a little bit more complicated than it really is. But once you get through that first time, then it becomes a much easier process.
Yes.
So, Janine, thank you for explaining that first part of determining my place in the tax world, and I've extended my visit, and now I've determined whether I need to file a tax return or not. So, what if now I'm not a resident, and I want to elect to be taxed as a resident, or vice versa, a non-resident? What is my scenario there?
If you have determined you are a resident or non-resident under the tax law, we can further look into the elections available to you. The first election is under the income tax treaty. The U.S. has income tax treaties with various countries. If you are from one of the treaty countries, you can elect treaty positions for residency determination. If you are classified as a resident alien under one of the two tests we discussed earlier, but at the same time also classified as income tax resident of the country you are from, and that country has an income tax treaty with the U.S., then there's something called tiebreaker rules in the treaty that usually will classify you as resident in only one of the two countries on the basis of facts and circumstances. So if you are classified as a resident for U.S. tax purposes, but it is more beneficial for you to be classified as a non-resident, then you make sure to check the treaty to see if you can make an election to apply the treaty position.
So it also goes back to seeing if the U.S. has some type of treaty with your particular country where you came from.
Yes.
Oh, that actually makes it easier, too, on your election. Because if you come from a country where the U.S. has a treaty, then does that make it easier?
It depends. So first of all, a treaty does override tax laws, but you don't have to apply the treaty position if they're not beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. But treaties typically do include beneficial provisions or articles for taxpayers.
Oh, okay, got it. So now let's take the flip side of that, right? That's for non-resident.
Yes.
What if I am a resident? When does my residency start?
So if you've determined you are resident, then yes, this the second step is to determine when my residency starts. That's important because your U.S. tax status will be different before and after that date. You can be both a non-resident alien and a resident alien during the same year, which typically happens in the year of arrival or the year of departure. Then you have dual status for that year. During the period you are a non-resident alien, you are only taxed on your U.S. source income. During the period you are a resident alien, you are taxed on your worldwide income. So the residency starting date depends on how you obtained your residency. If you're a resident alien because you meet the substantial presence test for the year, your residency starting day is generally the first day you're present in the United States during that year. If, however, you were here in the U.S. for short trips when you still had a closer connection to a foreign country, then your tax home was still in the foreign country, you can exclude those trips for up to 10 days of actual presence in the U.S. In this situation, you must file a statement with the IRS stating that you are excluding those days of presence. Then if you started your residency because you meet the green card test at any time during a calendar year, then your residency starting day is the first day of the calendar year on which you are present in the United States as a lawful permanent resident, which is typically the date you use your green card to enter into the country.
So let's just say I come into the U.S. with the visitor visa. Let's just say it's granted for 1 year. So I now clear customs and I'm immigration officer, stamps something on my passport. What happens next?
So you apply for visa in your home country and you got visa, basically the permission to come to the U.S. and then you go through immigration. The immigration officer is going to stamp how long of a period he's going to give to you to stay in the U.S. and it's also possible for you to extend your visa after it expires. So although initially you plan to come in for 3 months, but eventually you stayed here more than 183 days.
So what you're telling me that when I cleared customs, the officer that granted my entry into the United States gave me a 3 month stay. I can legally extend that.
Yes.
Up to whatever is determined through immigration.
Yes, the immigration will determine.
So during that period, I decide that I am going to do some activity that is going to generate me income. So I'm assuming at that point is where the tax laws now apply to me.
If somehow you have U.S. source income, yes, you state as a non-resident alien, you don't stay more than 183 days, you will be taxed on your U.S. source income.
Okay, got it. Thank you for taking us through that because that explains a little bit of how that process works, which now leads us into the tax situation.
Yes.
So, Chinning, thank you for explaining the residency start date for specific situations. So, we've determined our residency start date. How does this apply now to my tax reporting and what happens next?
Okay, so during that year, you are considered having a dual status tax year because you are both a resident alien and a non-resident alien in the same year. Dual status simply refers to your resident status in the U.S., United States. It is different from dual citizenship.
Oh, so there is a difference. And with your help, my tax position is really going to be determined on these two things.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so very interesting how 1 year can really be split up between the dual status.
That's right. So that your tax in the U.S. would be different before and after that day. Before you're a non-resident alien, you are only taxed your U.S. source income. Afterwards, you are a U.S. taxpayer and as a resident alien, so you would be taxed on your worldwide income.
So I'm assuming there's different rates?
Yes. Typically, non-resident alien is taxed on, as we said, only U.S. source income. The general rule is that the rate is 30%. And for resident alien, there are different tax brackets.
So then this is all determined by my arrival and my departure dates?
Yes, it's determined under what we talked about earlier, substantial presence test and the green card test. So how you came to the U.S. and how long you stayed.
So in closing, and thank you for your great insights and tips, this is a very confusing topic.
Because I agree.
It includes both immigration and it includes tax.
Yes.
Tax alone is very complicated, but to include both of them can confuse a lot of people. So thank you for explaining the tax component of this. I just want to thank you for your time and for your insights. And if someone needed to contact a tax expert on these matters, how can someone reach you?
Yeah, they can either email me. It's cfan@singerliwack.com. C as in cat, F as in Frank, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy. And my phone number is 408-899-3928.
Thank you from beautiful San Jose. We thank you for your time and thank you for talking to us about this very excellent topic.
Thank you for having me.